Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Metzia Daf Mem. We will begin by Ezra Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Mem Omer Aleph at the Mishnah. It says the Mishnah, Hamafka Peris Etz Chaveray. If somebody leaves Peris fruit for somebody else to watch, Hareza Yotzi Leichasroinus. When he returns what he was asked to watch, as we're going to learn, there's a standard amount that is expected that will depreciate. And that amount that's depreciated, that is lost, that's not expected to be returned. He should give him back with what's missing. However, the Rishonim all point out that the case of our Mishnah is a case where he obviously mingled his fruit, the Shomer mingles his fruit with the person who asked him to watch fruit. Because if that were not the case, then the halacha would be very simple, as we learned many times in the Masechta Bava Kamma. At that point, all he has to say is, Harei shecha lefanecha, take what you left with me, and take it back as it is. The issue here is that it's not just his fruit that's being taken back. What's also being taken back is some of something else mixed together. So if what he was asked to watch was wheat or rice, tishin kabin l'kol kar. For every kar, in a kar there's 30 saw, and a saw has in it 6 kabin. Says the Mishnah, for every tishin chatzi kabin l'kol kar. For every kar, there's an expectation that you will lose 9 half kabin. Sirin u'daychen, for barley and milt, the rate is typically tisha kabin l'kar, 9 kabin for a kar. L'kusman, and when the produce that was left with you is kusman, the kusman is spelt, ulazar pishtin, flax seed, shloshes son l'kar. The amount that's usually lost is 3 son for a kar. Says the Mishnah furthermore, hakol afi amid of a kalas man, all of these according to the season and according to the country. And as the Rambam already says, the numbers that we're speaking about are the numbers that are in Eretz Yisrael. And also, we have to take into consideration, point out to Rishonim, that every year we lose a certain amount. And since every year we lose a certain amount, so when we start the year off, the count begins with that amount. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, doesn't understand why does the amount that was left make a difference. The mice are going to eat bein maharbim and mekima. It shouldn't make a difference how much was left. The mice is going to eat what they eat. Ella any yoytzlochasroinus lekar echabavad. We only deduct for one car, even if there was more car left with him, because at that point, that's all that's going to be eaten by the mice. If the shomer is watching a very large amount, you don't have a right to deduct anything, because when you have a large amount, and of course the Gemara will explain this, what happens is there is obviously going to be some level of depletion, but there's also going to be some level of extra. And they sort of even themselves out, says this opinion. And since they even themselves out, you're not entitled to deduct anybody. Tosfos, in quoting what the Mishnah just said, v'chimachos ma'ichos v'le'lachborim, to the mice care how much there is or there isn't here, quotes a Yerushalmi that says, Hani achbi rishi. The mice of Rishoyim, that chamin ibor, when they see grain, says the Yerushalmi, loy mustahiyu da achli, not only do they eat from that grain, el kari de chavreim da achli mon, they invite their friends to join them to eat. The Emri Emes acts that when the Torah speaks about the birds, one of the birds that is called the chasida. And the reason it's called the chasida is because She oisa chesed mecharviseha. It's very generous with its other birds. So as the Yemriemis, there we see that when a bird is generous, it gets a nice name, chasida. And but achbara, that's generous, and calls the achbara is faulted for doing this. Why? Where's the consistency? So the Imri Emes answers, the chasida, when it takes food and doesn't only take it for itself, it shares, the chasida takes from hefker, from ownerless property, whereas the achbara takes from owned property. And that's why the chasida is called a chasida, not the achbara. The Imri Emes gives a different teretz. The chasida, under all circumstances, is generous and calls the other birds to share with her. The achbara only shares when it has enough for itself, and the leftover it shares. That's not called chasida. Tosfos says that, as we just quoted the Yerushalmi, that the achbara called Rishayim because not only do they eat from produce, but they share with others. Says the Yabi Omer that what is the lesson of this? So the Rav Avadya Yosef Zatzal in the Shas Tshuvas Yabi Omer Chelik Yerdei Chelik Beis Sim Ches says what the lesson here is, that the person who owned the produce should take a lesson from the mice. The mice were generous and it called the other mice to eat with them. And the person doesn't take the lesson of sharing his produce with others, with the Kohanim and Levim, they're supposed to get Truma Meiser, with the poor people who are supposed to get their share. And that's why the Rishon, the Achbar says, is because of that. Says the, so I saw that the Sefer Arvi Nachal explains that we know that the Gemara Masech Tahori says that if somebody eats food that was bitten by a mouse, he begins to forget. So he explains that in the Vidu Meiser, that at the fourth year and the seventh year, that you have to make sure to have given away all the Meiser, and you say a Nusach, the Nusach is, Loivatim and Tzaysecha, Loi Shachachti. So he says it's beautiful pshat. If Loi Avatim and Mitzvahsecha, if I gave the Truma and Meiser properly, so therefore, what does that prevent? That prevents the mice from eating from my produce. If I'm able to prevent that the mice should eat from my produce, then I will be zoicha, I will be fortunate that the Lord Shachti, I won't forget anything in my learning. Begins the Gemara, Amar the Iris Tuva Chaser, but as the Gemara, we see that rice depletes at a much greater rate. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rabba Babachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Iris Kolashadu. Here we're talking about peeled rice, which doesn't decrease at the same rate. Lekusman Ulazar Pishtan, the amount is Lekusman Ulazar Pishtan, the amount is Gimel Son Lekar, says the Gemara. Amr Abyakar Amr Abhi Zar Pishtan Begvolan Shalom. When we speak about the flax seed, we're talking when it's still in its husk. Tajinami Hochi, Lekusman Ulazar Pishtan Begvolim, Laurish and Korov, unpeeled rice, Shloisha Son Lekar. And then the Mishnah said, Hakol Afi Mida. We have to look at the time and the place that we're dealing with. Says the Gemara Tana, Bein L'kol Kavu Kar, Kein L'kol Kavu Kar. This is the amount that's taken off for every car that this Shomer is watching. And as we learned in the Mishnah, Kein L'kol Shana V'Shana, every year he's entitled to that rate. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Nuri Rabbi Yochanan Suri, say, what's the difference if there's a lot or a little? The mice eat whatever they're supposed to eat, says the Gemara. Tanya Amalei Rabbi Yochanan, Habi Avdus Mehem. Much of the produce is ruined. Habi Mespazus Mehem. There is a difference. The more you have, the more that there is there, there's more to be wasted, and that's why you lose more. Says the Gemara, Tana B'medva Mamurim. When is this said? She irvin and peyrosev, as we said before. If you mixed the shomer, mixed his produce together with the produce that he's watching. Avo yichalei karen zavus. If you designated a special place, the shomer designated a special place where he's going to leave this. I'm a lawyer, so then he could say to the person who owns this, that take what's yours and finished. Ask the Gemara, why should it make a difference if he mingled together with his own produce? Let's see how much was his and how much was what was owned by the person who he's watching for, and he'll figure it out proportionally, says the Gemara, because he's been constantly taking out for his own use from this bundle, from this entire batch of produce. So ask the Gemara again, let's see how much he has taken. And to the Gemara, the case here is referring to a situation, he doesn't know, so he can't make that type of a calculation. I saw that the Tiferes Yisrael says, it could also be speaking about a case where the person who gave me to watch never really did a clear calculation of how much he had asked me to watch. Since he never had a clear calculation of how much he asked me to watch, we have to do everything according to this type of estimation. The Rambam writes that actually this case that the Mishnah is speaking about, that the Gemara just said the Mishnah is speaking about, where he mixed together his produce with the produce that he's watching, is actually something he shouldn't do. Because we just learned in the Gemara, on Daf Lamed Ches, Adam writes of a Kaf Shaloi. A person wants his own. So if I'm watching somebody else's produce, I should keep it separate. And the Mishnah is obviously speaking about a case where the Shomer violated this halacha, or it's speaking in a case that as much as Adam writes with Kaf Shalai, here he was given permission to mingle them together. The Gemara says that if he knew how much is his, then he knows, and we have this rate that has been identified in our Gemara, he'll know how much was his and how much was the other person. There's a Mishnah Masechta B'chayrus that Chof Chesem Beis that discusses a case where Shomer was asked to watch somebody else's sheep, and he mixed together that person's sheep with his own sheep. And then one of the sheep dies, but Oinus, it was not the fault of the Shomer. The Shomer is exempt from returning one of the sheep that he was asked to watch, because he always could say, Chamoitzim Chavera Olavaraya, and prove to me, you need to prove to me that it was not your animal that died. Ask the Sma, why don't we say the same rule here? Why can't the Shomer say that all of the produce that got depleted belonged to the person who left it here? Answers the Sma, that by an animal, we could easily identify, not easily, but we could identify which animal is mine, which animal is his. That means each animal is a distinct animal. Here, when we're mixing the produce together, we get one homogeneous mixture. So therefore, since it's one big mixture, we can't just say, it must have been yours that got ruined and not mine. We learned further in the Mishnah, Behuda Aymer. Behuda said, if there was a lot left with the Shomer, then we could say that as much as it was lost, that is also how much as was gained. Kama mida meruba. So ask the Gemara, what is considered the mida meruba, a large quantity? Amar Rabba Bechana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, asara kurin. Tanya nami hachi, kama mida meruba. How much is considered a large quantity? Asara kurin. It's important to point out, as we have this discussion about the mice eating the produce, the question is, if somebody sees that there are mice in his home, and of course nobody wants to have mice in the home and they're ruining the produce, is one allowed to kill the mice? Ramosha Zatzal, the Igros Moshe Choshe Mishpat Chelik Beis, Simon Mem Zayin discusses this question, and he takes the questions. On one hand, there's the issue of Tzar Baal Chaim. On the other hand, he says, animals were created to serve men. And if the animals are not serving people, but on the other hand, they're doing just the opposite, they're causing damage to people, under those circumstances, we don't have to preserve the animal. But still, Rav Moshe says that even though we don't have to be so concerned about preserving the animal, the mice, under those circumstances, still says Rav Moshe, we shouldn't directly kill the animal. We should only put out the mice. We should put out a trap, but not do something which represents direct cruelty to the animal because of the concern of Tzar Baal Chaim. Tana Tana Kamed Rav Yochanan. Tana Tana Kamed Rav Nachman. But Medvar Amurim, when is this all said? Shemad Olam Tech Groinai, where he measured the produce from his warehouse. The Cheslam Tech Groinai, and the Shomer returned it with the same type, they used the same type of measuring instrument. Avi Madalai Metoch Garnai, if the owner of the produce took it, gave it to the person to watch with him with his type of measuring instrument, Vechslai Metoch Besoi, and the Shomer returns it with the type of measuring instrument that's used in a home, it's a very different type of measuring instrument, and Yotzlai Chesoyas, we don't make these deductions, Neshim is serious. Because when we use the measuring utensils that are used at home are smaller, and therefore it increases. And the increase that you have by measuring that way offsets the depletion. Omalei, so Rav Nachman said, V'chi b'shiftoni askinim, are we dealing with foolish people? The Yav b'kayla rabba, that when they ask me to watch something, they use a large measuring instrument, the shakli, and when they take it back, they take it with a small measuring instrument. Says the Gemara, a different pshat of the Braisa. Dilma b'mayis ha'cham goyin k'amet. There's a difference what season we're talking about. And the Braisa should be understood as follows. The medvam amurim, when is the halacha that you make deductions? Shemadad loy b'mayis ha'goyin, where the owner asked me to watch it in the season where they take they work with the produce, and I returned it. The Shomer returns it in that same season. If you take it in the spring, and it's returned in the winter, we don't calculate the deduction. Neshim is serious because that time there's more the moisture of the season, of the rainy season, the humidity and the moisture causes everything to expand. Amalei Papa Labaya, if that's the case, that when I have something in a barrel during the winter, it's going to expand because of the season. So lifka kada, as the produce in the barrel expands, why doesn't it cause the barrel to burst? Answers the Gemara. Indeed, there have been situations, have uvdu upoka kada, there were situations with a barrel bursted. Because the barrels are packed, the pressure of the walls on the barrel keep everything in the barrel in place. The Torah HaKadoshah says, as Klal Yisrael was leaving Mitzrayim, they were carrying the dough, Terem Yachmas, before they became leavened, B'sharoisos, Tzruris, the question that many Mefarshim ask, why is it important for the Torah to tell us that they carried out the dough from Mitzrayim, Misharoysam Tzuris B'Simloysam, as they were in the garment on their back? Why is that such an important fact for us to know? So the Sefer Pnei Aryeh says, the question is, that Klal Yisrael traveled from Ramses to Sukkot, which Rashi says that it's about 120 mil. The question is, how come if they walked such a large, long distance, during that time, shouldn't the dough have become chametz? And why don't we find, as the Pnei Aryeh, that they didn't become chametz? The answer is, we just learned in our Gemara that if something is packed tight, it prevents it from becoming chametz. And that's what the Pasuk is teaching us. Mitzaroisam, mitzroyos, mitzimloisam. They had them packed in these pieces of material that prevented them from becoming chametz. Says the Mishnah, Yotz l'shtus l'yayin, as far as wine is concerned, that you have to deduct the sixth. That's the amount that's absorbed by the barrel. Yudai mechamish a fifth. Yotz l'shalugin shemen l'meya. You could deduct 3 loigin for every 100 loig. Loigin mechze shmarim, because a loigin and a half are accounted for sediment at the bottom of the barrel. A loigin mechze bala and a loigin mechze absorbed into the barrel. Imha yishem mezukut. But if the oil was refined, any yotz l'shamrim. Shemarim, you don't take calculation for sediment because it's refined oil. There's no sediment. Imha you can kind of mishonim. And if they're old barrels that are already fully absorbed, any yotz libella, there's no consideration for what's absorbed. The Beis Yosef has the famous question that why do we celebrate Hanukkah for 8 days? The first night they had enough to light for one night, so the nace was only 7 days. So the Ostrov Tzarebbe says that we learn here that when you have a new vessel, it absorbs the oil. So he explains that the oil that they had to make a new menorah, because the menorah that they had gotten tamei. Since they had to make a new menorah that got tamei, so even though they poured in the regular amount of oil that's poured in, here they had to pour in, here they needed more than the regular amount to take into consideration the amount that would be absorbed. So that's why it was a nice even the first night. Somebody sells to somebody else refined oil. Harei ze mekabelov, the purchaser accepts upon himself. He's expected to understand that there's going to be a loig and a half of shmarim for every 100 loig of oil. Says the Gemara that what's the basis of the machloikis of Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakama? Is it a sixth or a fifth? Says the Marvelai Pligi, there's actually no machloikis here. Ma'ka esrei, ma'ka esrei. It depends. Each one of them was speaking according to the location where they were. Basri b'mar, in where the Tanakama lived, Chofa b'kira, they coated the barrels with wax. V'loi mayitz tfei, and therefore it doesn't absorb that much, and therefore you only lose a sixth for absorption. However, ba'asri d'mar, where Rabbi Yehuda lived, Chofa b'kofru, they coated the barrels with tar, umayitz tfei, and therefore it absorbs more, and since it absorbs more, you lose a fifth. Ibai seima, mishum gigishta. The different types of clay that were used to make the barrel. Where the Tanakama lived, they weren't so absorbent. Where Yehuda lived, they were more absorbent. It says the word of Asad of Yehuda, where Yehuda lived, Rami Avra Tamni Kuzubadana. They would take 48 kuz of wine into a barrel. Oza Dana Beshita Zuzay. And at the time of harvest, a barrel sold for 6 sus. Paras of Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, who was a storekeeper, bought barrels for 6 zuz. Shita Shita Bezuza. He bought them in batches of 6 kuz, a zuz each. And then when he sold it, and that's how he sold them. Dal, says the Gemara, how much profit did Rabbi Yehuda make on these sales? Says the Gemara, Dal plus the Shita Beshita, 36 kuz of wine from the total of 48 kuz would take off. That means that's how much he spent with his 6 kuz. Poshle Tracer. And he's left with 12 kuz of wine. Dal Yatamish to say, from that we take off, from these 12, 8, which we take off 8 kuz, which is a sixth of the original 48, Poshalo Arba. And he's left with 4 kuz of wine as his profit. Ask the Gemara, Vama Shmuel, but ask Shmuel, isn't there a rule? Hamastaka, Ayastaka, Ashtus. You're not allowed to make Ashtus is the profit. Why did Rabbi Yehuda have only a 12th? Answers the Gemara, Ikke Gufi Vishana, that the sediment and the barrels which are included in the original purchase. Says the Gemara, if we take that off, then we'll have just the opposite. nefeklet femishtos. He'll end up more than a sixth, a prophet. And we said that you're not supposed to profit more than a sixth. Answers the Gemara, Ikav Perka. We have to also take into consideration his labor, but the neighbor's a nice, and he had to hire somebody to work for him to pour out the wine. The halacha that you're not supposed to earn more than a sixth, says Rashi, is only by dvarm shiesh by chayiv nefesh, something that people need to live. Apparently, wine was considered an absolutely essential food that they needed to have. Moreover, the Meiri says that this is only an issue if the seller doesn't tell the buyer that I'm earning more than the sixth. But if he's very explicit that he's earning more, and the buyer still is willing to take that amount, then the halacha is he's allowed to. The Rashi explains, so what is the problem if in the Gemara, the Havamina, that he took less of a profit, he was only taking 12th. So the Ritva explains that he was a Talmud Chacham. And since he's a Talmud Chacham has no right, who's supposed to spend his time learning. And he's only supposed to work as much as he needs to work to earn a living. So he had no right to earn less than he's supposed to, because then he'll have to work more. And his working more is unacceptable, because he's going to cause, it's going to hurt his, it's going to take away from his ability to learn Torah more. Another pshat that I saw is that it's very important that there should be good competition. Good competition, the Ravid explains, means that everybody is essentially earning the same amount. But if he is going to only earn a 12th, what's going to happen is then it's going to put sharp competition, it's going to cause unfair competition where the other storekeepers are not going to be able to take a better price, which is something that the halacha doesn't want. So it's not just that you shouldn't earn more than a sixth, but you should earn a sixth and keep it fair, because the halacha, the requirements change, because we want to have everybody more or less in the same price and not create unfair competition. Another point that I saw is that there's, of course, a difference when we speak about this halacha between a wholesaler and a retailer. And the halacha changes when we speak about a wholesaler who's supposed to make less profit versus a retailer who's entitled to make more profit. So we learned further in the Mishnah. We learned if imha yoshevim lezukik, if it was refined oil, any yotzei leshmarim, then you don't you're not entitled to take a deduction for the sediment. And we also said if the oil was stored in old jugs, you don't take a deduction for the amount that was absorbed. Says the Gemara, even if it was an old barrel, the yeshed lebala, isn't it? It's impossible that there wasn't at least some absorption. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman, Zofen Shan. We're talking about when they were coated with tar, such barrels don't take, when they're already absorbed, can't take any more. Abaya Mafil Temishleim Zofen, even if they're not coated with tar, even the tauntaun, once they're filled up, then that's it. That so Tosfos asks that we just learned before that the barrels that are coated with tar absorb more. And here we say that tar prevents a lot of absorption. So Tosfos answers there's a difference. If I have a new barrel, and yes, the new barrel I just coated with tar, it's still going to absorb. But once it's an older barrel, even though it was coated with tar and the tar had a chance to get really connected to the barrel, then it's not going to absorb. Another teretz that Tosfos suggests, when we spoke about previously about barrels that are coated with tar, we were talking regarding wine. Here we're speaking about oil. Oil and wine are not the same. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, we learned in the Mishnah, Afa Maicha Shem Zuk L'Chaver Kol Yemei Shana, if somebody sells refined oil throughout the year, he has to, and he made a contract that he's going to provide oil different times of the year to the customer, I raise him a Kabbalah of, then the customer is accepting upon himself Loiga Maxa Shmarim Lameya, that for every 100 loig of refined oil, he's going to only get 98 and a half loig, because he has to take in consideration the sediment. Amar Baik Shtim Tzolimer, according to what we're learning, Ladiver of Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Mutal Arav Shmarim, you let him mix sediment into the oil, and that's why that's taken into consideration. And Ladiver Chama Osla Arav Shmarim, in other words, the Nafka Mina is, that if I didn't say specifically the customer that I'm buying refined oil, so even though at that point that that's settled, the owner of the oil can mix up the barrel that you should have some sediment. The Divrei of Yehuda Mutal Arav Shmarim, not a Gemara explained. The coin of Yehuda, you're allowed to mix up sediment that's in the barrel. Find time in the makabel, and that's why the purchaser is ready to accept 1.5 loig. Even he bought refined oil. The person who's selling the oil could always say, had I wanted, I could have mixed this together. If I wanted to mix sediment, I was allowed to. So now you have to take it upon yourself. But ask the Gemara, if you would have mixed it together, have a mistabmele. So I'm buying the oil, the customer says, to sell it further. Since I'm buying it to sell it further, so then it's not a problem. You mix the sediment and I'll sell it as is. However, hashta my evelay, now that you just gave me 98 and a half loy, now you're going to tell me we'll sell the sediment separately? There's no customers for sediment. Answers the Gemara, the balabais is skinan. We're talking that the customer is a balabais, the nichale betzila. He is willing to accept 98 and a half loig of oil instead of the 100 loig of oil, but it should be good quality, says the Gemara. The Gemara still continues. But why can't the customer say to the merchant, midalei araftali, the fact that you didn't mix it is a proof that chalachaltali, that you're meichami, and that you're going to give me 100 loig of pure oil, answers the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda follows his opinion elsewhere in Shas, the Lesley Mechila. We don't make that kind of assumption that I said I'll give it to you, I'll give you pure 100 loig. The Tanan, the Mishnah, Masechta Bava Basra, the Ayin Zayin on the base teaches us. Machlois of Tzemid, if somebody sold a yoke to which animals are attached, like Machlois of Boker, the cattle not included. Machlois Abayker, if he sold him cattle, like Machlois Atzemed, the yoke is not included. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, that like Machlois Atzemed, one is not included with the other. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hadavim Medin. We're going to look at the price. Kate said, Amalei Machlois Tzimtchav Masayim Zuz, if the customer says to the merchant, sell me the yoke for 200 Zuz. So says Rabbi Yehuda, Hadavi Yedua, everybody is aware, Shenet Seben Musayim Zuz, that nobody sells a yoke just for 200 Zuz, and the animal is included. The Chom Oimrim, and Adam Rai, we don't bring a Rai from the money. Sometimes people will be nice. So we see from here, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't make such an assumption that people are going to overpay. And here too, Rabbi Yehuda says, there's no way we can make an assumption that the seller says, I'll give you 100 when I could have given you 98 and a half. The Shalos Chuvas Karen with David, Eir Chaim, Simon Chavches, discusses a Shaila where there's a shul which sells Dalias. And there was one person that bought all of the Aliyah Revi of Rosh Chodesh, and another person bought Mafter of an entire year. And one time, Mafter, Rosh Chodesh fell on Shabbos, which is the Aliyah, which is normally read as Revi on a regular Rosh Chodesh. And now the question is, Who gets that aliyah? Is the person who bought the aliyah of Revi, of Rosh Chodesh, for the entire year? Or is it the person who bought Maftar? And this Rosh Chodesh, Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, this is the Maftar. And the Karen of David says that the person who bought the Maftar should get the aliyah. Because that the price of Maftar was higher than the price of paying Revi for Rosh Chodesh. So that's a proof that where there's more money, whoever paid more is entitled to more. And Rav Shlomo Zalman, Orbach Zatzal, in the Shalat Shuvah Smicha Shlomo, Chel Beis, Simon Yodalid, use this the same. The question is, some toilets have in them some sort of a contraption that when you flush the toilet, it causes the water to get colored. And the question is, it has some sort of a soap that causes the water to get colored. And the question is that called tzviya if you flush such a toilet on Shabbos? And Shlomo Zalman, Zatzal, takes a very interesting approach. The approach he takes is he says, if that soap that is put into that toilet is more, because it gives off this color, is more expensive than the regular soap that's used in toilets. So it's clearly an indication that I paid for that and I wanted that. And therefore, that might be considered a situation of deliberate tzviya and would be also to use in Shabbos. Continues Abaya now to explain. Till now we were explaining the opinion of Yehuda. Now we're going to explain the opinion of the Chachamim. The Divrei Chachamim, whereas according to the Chachamim, their opinion is Osel Arav Shmorim. You're not allowed to mix the sediment. And this is the reason why the customer doesn't, when he bought refined oil, doesn't take off any deduction. The buy Amalei, the customer could say it. If you wanted a mix, may have a sharloch, you wouldn't be allowed to. Hashtanami lemakabilna. Amalei, Rapapa Labaya. Rapapa says to Baya, I could say adrab ichmistar. I could say just the opposite. But divrei chachamim, according to the chachamim, mutalar shmarim, you let him mix shmarim sediment into the oil. And this is the reason why the customer, if he didn't mix sediment, doesn't have to accept a deduction. Domalei, because the customer could say to the merchant, you have a right to mix it. But the fact that you didn't do so, that means you are meichel me and you're ready to give me the whole 100 and not take any deduction. The Divrei of Yehuda, whereas according to Yehuda, he's going to hold osel arav shmarim. You're not allowed to mix sediment into the refined oil. Behind the time of the makabel, and this is the reason why the customer has to accept only 98 and a half kinds of logan of oil. If you wanted a mix, you weren't allowed to. Kabulas lemakabel, and you're not going to accept. I'm not allowed to mix the sediment, nor am I allowed to do anything with the oil that I have. But if that's the case, I'm not going to be making any profit if I'm going to have to give you a full 100 loik. And says the seller, the merchant, Zavo Zvoin Vazabin, to buy and sell and not realize any profit, in the Tagrikri, that's called a businessman. Of course, it was understood I'm doing this to make a profit. And this is the way I'm going to make the profit, and you have to accept, and therefore you have to accept what I was doing here. It says, the same halacha applies by a customer and by a shomer lebekotim regarding some pieces that are in the oil. My lebekotim, what does that mean? Ilam kech to lekech lemakab kotim, just like when somebody purchases something, he doesn't have to accept that there's kotim, that there's these impurities in the oil. Mafka namli lemakotim, we're going to say that when you ask me to watch something, when I return it, you don't have to accept any impurities in your oil. Says the Gemara, how can we compare the two cases? When I buy oil So there's what the halacha tells me I'm supposed to accept, and what the halacha says I'm not supposed to accept. But here, if I took your oil and it developed impurities, my cut my avalu. What should I do with your impurities that developed in your oil? Ella says the Gemara just the opposite. Kehech the mafkim kabu katan. If you ask me to watch your oil, I have to watch the oil the way it is. And if there are impurities in them, that's the oil you left with me. So too, if somebody bought oil, there's an expectation that in regular oil there's going to be impurities. Ask the Gemara, is it true that a customer has to accept these impurities? That the oil that is impure is the responsibility of the seller. As we've been learning, the customer accepts himself upon himself. That's it, and not the cotton. Answer to Marlakasha. The first brisa speaks when he paid for the oil in Tishrei, and then the oil is cloudy and inexpensive. The Shakman Eben Nissen committed the Tishrei, and now he's taking the oil from the seller in Nissen when oil is refined, and he's using the Tishrei price. Since in Tishrei, oil generally contains these impurities, so the customer has to accept impurities because he bought oil at the time with his impurities, and he paid the according price. But if I bought it in Nissen, and I kishok b'nei b'nissen, and I'm getting delivery in Nissen, so I'm paying the Nissen price, which is the higher price, and I'm also expecting the Nissen type of oil. Can be the Nissen. The Nissen type of oil, which is pure oil, and therefore the seller may not include any impurities in the oil he delivers to me.